The period of national mourning is officially over. Tomorrow morning, people return to their regular activities. They get on with life. National mourning is finished, yet private mourning continues. Not just through the formalities of another week, but through lives now altered in the absence of one who was a central, familiar character. The absence of that presence that shaped that living, whose absence now does so through the void it leaves behind. And that latter personal mourning is common to all who mourn, whoever you are, princes or paupers. It makes no difference. I'm sure that pretty much everyone here has known that experience in some very real way. And how, once the formalities are concluded, that strange pain of seeing normality return for the world around you, and yet knowing that for you at least, the world can never be the same. You walk through town, down the aisles of the supermarket. All around you is normal and everyday. People laugh, they argue, they procrastinate, they rush. And you might want to shout at them for the banality of what seems to matter so much. Don't you understand? He's gone. Now, I seriously doubt that Her Majesty will be walking down the aisles of Tesco or Waitrose, other brands are available, on Monday morning. But I dare say she will be returning to work, and she will need our prayers, our thoughts and best wishes, and our understanding as she does so. For her world has changed, and whatever support she has and will receive, it has diminished. Her Majesty returns to a piece of work she's been concentrating on for nearly 70 years now. I thought I'd been a vicar for a long time, but it turns out I haven't. How long have you been in your role, if it's your role that's brought you here today? Far too long, some might say. Or is that just something they say to vicars? I don't know. Or maybe it's not long enough to bring to it the understanding and insight of nearly 70 years of experience. For 70 years in public service is a long time. Our whole world has changed. From the end of empire and birth of commonwealth, to economic woes and joys and back again and so forth, to a constantly changing sea of prime ministers and presidents, policies and cultures. To navigate that sea at all, Her Majesty has relied on two fixed points by which she might steer, two rocks that provided certainty, her faith and her husband. Now, I'm a clergyman. I'm supposed to bang on about faith, but that's not what I'm going to do today. You come here for another Sunday if you want that, and I'd be very glad to offer it. But today, and for this service, is for all people, regardless of faith and belief, though framed in the context of Christian worship as requested by the royal household. Today is for us to say thank you for that other rock, Prince Philip, and to take from his example all that was good and inspirational and seek to make that our own. Was Prince Philip perfect? No. Let's get that out of the way. No one is perfect. We know that. All you have to do is look in the bathroom mirror each morning and you get a reminder. But we gain no advantage by holding on to those imperfections. But by holding on to what was good, by making it our own as best we can, we remember those whom we have lost in the way that will honour them the most. Prince Philip was, it seems, the epitome of what's often called the alpha male, forged in a chaotic childhood caused by broken family and broken nation, the challenge of an education that was rigorous and maybe harsh. He graduated into a world at war where he served honourably. He was a leader with a promising naval career ahead of him. When he swapped all that might fulfill his ego for something that would fulfill his heart, and yet require an even more demanding sense of duty than the Royal Navy ever could in peace or in war. A clergy colleague who became a suffragan bishop, that's a bishop who works with and supports a diocesan bishop, but doesn't have their final authority. He reflected with me after a couple of years in the role that suffragan bishop is simply being second fiddle in a one-man band, and it can be no other way. That's not a flippant comment, and there is wisdom in it. Sometimes the role of giving support, of enabling another to be all that they can or are called to be, is every bit as demanding as the role of the one who is called. Who of you, of us, can say we achieved our greatest successes alone? Was there someone there whose service and maybe sacrifice made our public success possible? If you're married, I suggest the answer is yes, and I'm not just being diplomatic. But that support may have come from elsewhere. Those whose work you built on, whose advice you sought, those who were the essential echo chamber for your doubts and fears. I cannot imagine that Prince Philip's role could have been easy for any person, least of all someone with his character. Being second fiddle, to subsume his need to lead into a role of service, must have been a great personal challenge. And yet somehow he allowed himself to learn to do just that. There's a lesson in that for all of us who would lead in some way in the public square. Will we allow the needs of our ego to diminish, that serving others might become our purpose? It might not seem a logical route to follow, yet it is one that has been repeatedly proven to work. Instead, in the place of ego, allow love to abide. Love, I believe, is the true bedrock of faithful service. It is the strength to give and not count the cost. No, that's not true. It's the strength to give and not resent the cost. It is the capacity to recognize the humanity and not only the utility of those we serve, even if our service is one of leadership. Love creates and encourages others to create too. I think that two of Prince Philip's greatest achievements were the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme and St. George's College, Windsor. One nurturing young people to grow into their capacity, the other reshaping older people who have sometimes exceeded their capacity and discovered very real limits. Both bringing wholeness, both an act of love. So what will shape and motivate us as we return to our work tomorrow morning? I'll leave you with this. St. Augustine, a great and learned person who wrote many wise and insightful books about the Bible and Christian life, summed it all up with this one line: love, and do as you will. Love, and do as you will. Because once you have found your rock, you have a sure point to navigate life's journey by. Amen.